Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGabinawa, and welcome to episode 87 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. Is achieving and maintaining a healthy work-life balance a priority for you? In this interview, my guest reveals how he got to the point where he could work on his business instead of in it, and how that has restored his work-life balance. You will also learn how he built his software platform to over 2 million users, how he was able to systematize and delegate customer support, what he did to solve communication challenges between the different departments, and more. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Itekin Tank, and he's the CEO and founder of Jotform. Itekin, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on your show.
Awesome. So the whole purpose of this show is to get entrepreneurs like you who have been able to successfully, in your case, systematize your entire business, and now it runs successfully without you. So we want to learn how you've been able to do that. So starting out the gate so that our listeners are excited to listen to the interview all the way to the end, what would you say are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of going through that process of systematizing and automating your business?
So let's be honest. We entrepreneurs, we are workaholics. We love spending time in our business. We spend days and nights and weekends in our business. But this is not healthy. This is not sustainable. This is fun and good when you're just starting out.
Yeah.
But you can't go on like that forever. It's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for your business. So to answer your question, the most mind-blowing result of systemizing my business was that I was able to work on my business as opposed to working in my business. So to give you some examples, instead of spending my time putting out fires, dealing with customers, and all the busy work, I was able to actually improve my product, my service, and my company in general. Another result of systemizing my business was that I was able to have a better work and life balance. A couple of years ago, my wife and I actually traveled Europe. We actually took a road trip through the Europe for 3 months. We just,
wow.
You know, I don't have to work. I just checked on the work, you know, once a day, but actually I spent a great time with my wife. And recently I have a baby boy, and he's 9 months old, and I was able to spend 1 month vacationing with him, and that was like the best time of my life.
That is awesome. And so how would you say your company itself has been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
I would say the great thing about systemizing your business is that you delegate to your employees and you empower your employees. You stop micromanaging them, and this results in you can do things yourself, you can do everything yourself, but you're gonna do a half-ass job at it. But if you actually delegate the work to your employees, and if you create the processes, and if you give them freedom to do the job, get the job done well, you will find that they're going to actually do the job much better than you would ever do. So systemizing your business, it just transformed my company. It resulted in happier employees and happier customers and a healthier company.
That is awesome. And so since we already know that now you travel a lot, so we kind of understand how systematizing your business helps, you know, help you get a better work-life balance. But I want to give the listeners kind of some context as to what exactly your company is all about. And so what does your company do and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Our product is called JotForm. It's an online form builder, and we have 2 million users. It's a free tool. You can create any kind of forms for your you can create the forms for your website or just for your customers or for your organization. So you can create a contact form and you can put it up on your website. You can create a survey for your customers and you can email it to your customers. You can create event registrations, order forms if you want to get paid, or even donation forms if you have an organization. You can do all kinds of things, like, you know, employee review forms or questionnaires for your employees or for your customers. So forms are actually really helpful when you need to systemize your business. We use forms to systemize our business in a way that helps us track things. For example, our marketing team, they're trying to get the name of JotForm, you know, get the mention of JotForm in different publications. So when they get a hit, we have a form and they can fill it out and they mention how they did it. And this actually helps the whole marketing team, know that, you know, the secrets behind getting a mention or, you know, getting JotForm featured on a publication.
Awesome. And so just so that we can understand, like, first of all, how many full-time employees do you have at the company?
We have 50 full-time employees. Half of that is in our Turkey office. It's our engineering team is located in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And the we have team members, marketing team members in San Francisco, mostly marketing. And the rest is remote, and our remote employees mainly do like support and maintenance.
Okay.
For our website and for our customers.
And so, is the company profitable? You know, feel like sharing what was last year's revenue and what you expect to do this year, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Mm-hmm. Our company is bootstrapped and profitable. I don't actually, you know, share the current numbers, but what I can say is, like, we are a multi-million dollar business and our revenues grow 30% a year.
And that's awesome. And so here's the thing is that we've talked about kind of what you're currently experiencing and enjoying now because you systematized the business, but I'm sure it wasn't always like this. So take us back to when the business was not systematized and automated like it is now. Mm-hmm. What was wrong with it?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
I would
like spend whole day, like, you know, in the morning I come to the office and like spend whole day doing customer support and, you know, helping customers and just not able to work on my business. And, you know, I would spend like weekends because we have a server problem because, you know, one of the, you know, database servers gone or something like that. So I would be really spending all my time in a treadmill.
Yeah,
I would be all the busy work, and that was just a terrible time.
And you mentioned that instead of you're spending time doing the support because you had, you know, quite a lot of customers, and you know when there was maybe something wrong with the service, you had to fix. You're doing fixing those,
yeah.
But then that was taking away from, you know, improving your products and hiring people. Talk about
definitely, yeah. Because I was spending all my time dealing with all these issues, all these busy work, it was just really hard for me to focus on improving my product, my service, and my company as a whole. And this is a negative feedback loop. It's always if you can improve your product, you get more customer support problems. You get more server problems. It just continues and keeps on going. But once I hired, our first support employees, and once I hired for, you know, good people for our operations.
Yeah.
I was able to actually let them handle those things, and I was able to spend my time improving our product.
And before we even talk about, you know, what you did as the first series of steps you did in terms of, you know, hiring somebody for support and somebody for product, I always try to get the guests to go back to a specific breaking point where, you know, something happened and you're like, no, enough is enough. I have to systematize and automate this business. Mm-hmm. I cannot do it anymore. What happened?
So the breaking point. I'm an engineer. I studied computer science in school. I love working on products. I love creating products. I love improving our product.
Yeah.
But at the breaking point, I was like spending my whole day actually putting out fires or, you know, dealing with customers. So that was for me the breaking point, that I recognized that, you know, I had to do something about this, and I had to, you know, find good people and delegate them, and, you know, so that I can actually go back to do what I do best, which is working on the product.
And what stood out to me during the pre-interview, you know, reading the document to see what you said was, you know, knowing what you love, being the fact that you studied computer science in school, so you were an engineer by trade and you love to create the product, but then realizing that that's not what you're doing every day in your business, a business that you created mm-hmm. to support your livelihood and to build into something big. Now you're not doing what you love about it. So that, to the listening, you know, you can literally say, you know, when your business is taking you away from doing something that you love about your business, that literally is the sign that that's the breaking point where you should say, hey, it should change. And so let's talk about the very first thing, the very first step you took to systematize your business. What was mm-hmm. it?
The first thing I did was to, I hired remote support team members on Odesk.
Why did you go the remote route instead of in office? I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I decided to do it remotely because I couldn't find good support people. I wasn't able to just find the people, right people. And the Odesk ecosystem actually has all these people who are really experienced in support.
And they also have like rating feedback and stuff too, right?
5 years of technical support. They might be from Philippines.
Yeah.
Or, you know, El Salvador, but they have like this, they worked on other companies' technical support, and they have all the technical skills, and they also have the support skills. So I was able to find the right people remotely.
Sometimes, and I think one other thing I also just realized by you saying that is also that they already have kind of like some kind of social proof in terms of their work, because they have ratings and feedback left mm-hmm. by other people who use them on that same service, right? Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
When you hire remote support people, what we do is like we will just give them a trial. Okay. We'll say like, you know, answer 5 support questions, and then they will go and answer them. And we have a support forum where they can actually, you know, find questions to answer them, just answer them. And then after that, we give them like a 1 month trial. Okay. And this is really, you can actually do it. You can actually hire like 10 people because you have nothing to lose. You still pay them, but you don't have to like hire a full-time person and, you know, do all those, you know, stuff you have to do for full-time people. But with the remote people, you can actually give them a trial and you can pick from the best. And mm-hmm. It really works well if you have like a technical kind of, but it will also work. I mean, whatever kind of online business you have, mm-hmm. It's just going to work well.
It's kind of like the movie business where all the stars, they have the audition for the role. So that's kind of what you were doing, is you're having them audition for the role that you want to have them take over long term. And so I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned that, okay, you started by hiring the support people, but you also did something which was documenting how to do things. Talk about mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. So you hire the person, but how do you transfer the knowledge? Mm-hmm. One of the great things about hiring a remote person, like you cannot actually spend time face-to-face, you have to actually document things, which is actually great because
once it forces you,
yeah, you can share the same document with the other person and the other person. You have to document all the cases that might come up, and we use Google Docs that mainly, we also ask them to look at the previous answers we provide to customers. So that's also another way to find how they do support. The documentation step is really important.
Yeah, and also, what would you say was the second step you now took to systematize the business? During the pre-interview, you mentioned something about building your teams. Let's elaborate on that.
So when you're hiring the first person, it's okay to do things yourself, you know, train the person, you know, help them. But it's just one person doesn't scale well because, you know, they will go to vacation or they will just find a different position from in a different company or, you know.
You're back to square one, yeah.
Yeah, you're back to square one. So what we did was we built a support team. And we also did a similar thing with the maintenance team, which actually deals with more higher level, more technical problems.
Okay.
And the support team now has a manager. She's also a remote employee.
Okay.
And the team actually can work together. They have a mailing list. They can send each other emails. They can actually talk to each other on Slack, on chat. And they created their documentation. They actually create our user guide. They update it all the time. So the support team helps each other, and they document the processes. And when we hire a new person, everything is ready.
That's just awesome.
We have a checklist of things that needs to be done when we hire the person, and the documents that needs to be shared, and the instructions. And everything is ready, it's always improving. I don't have to go, tell them all the time, we need to change this. They can actually adapt because they are a team. They talk to each other, and they are empowered to do the best for our customers.
And what I got from that is you started with one of the things that was the biggest bottleneck of your time. You love creating products, but support was taking a lot of your time. So you start by figuring that out. So you started, you got a single support person initially that was working remotely. And then you, in order to do, because the mere fact that she was remote, you had no choice but to document how they would do the work, right? So you started documenting procedures and, processes for what they do. Eventually, you moved to the next stage where you built a team of support staff. And then you moved out of the role of being a manager and got someone else managing that support team, and that person is responsible for continuously improving the procedures and documentation of how is it that you do support. And they also took over because you guys are a software. The support team also is responsible for improving your knowledge base articles that your customers list check out on how to use the software, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So
and then
go ahead,
other thing I forgot to mention is you need to provide feedback constantly to your the support team, because even when you're not actively managing the team, I try to continuously check and provide feedback to the team so that they can actually see their mistakes from an outside eye.
I like that. So even though and that's really the whole thing of delegation, is when you delegate something, you're still staying in the information loop so that that opportunity for them to give you feedback, and there's this back and forth, and hey, how do you know, they probably, as they're doing the work, are seeing things that could be done better, even way better than you suggested. Mm-hmm. And with that feedback, they can improve it. I love that. And so going back to the stage in the story where we were previously, you've built the support team. The next thing you did, during the pre-interview, you mentioned something about the having a problem with the engineering team, and talk about that.
So systemizing is never like a single step. It's just you systemize a part of your business and then you move on to the next step. You move on. And the great thing is as you continue, as you systemize your business, you have more time in your hands so that you can actually spend more time on a particular part of your business and then improve that. And this is just great.
The next bottleneck.
When we started growing our engineering team, when the engineering team was over 10 people, we started having problems, especially with communication, because it's hard to communicate well. It's also difficult to divide the tasks. It's very hard to stay the focus, keep the course. So what we found was when we divide engineering into multiple teams.
Oh, so you divided the engineering into several teams, okay.
Separate teams, and we gave them kind of their mission. So, we now have 5 different things, teams, 5 different engineering teams.
Can you name the team so that listener knows specifics?
Sure. Okay. For example, the growth team, their main goal is to grow active users, grow the number of active users for JotForm. The DevOps team, their goal is to just keep JotForm stable and, keep our uptime high.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other teams. Platform team, yeah. And the platform team creates partnerships and integrations with other services.
Okay.
Yeah. So since they have their own goals,
mm-hmm.
They can actually focus on they can actually self-manage, and they can actually continuously improve our product without, me going there and just, asking them to do something. And what we do is we will just meet once a week, and they will just and it's more fun for them as well, because you don't have to they are not getting micromanaged. They can actually decide what to work on and how to work on it, and how to get the job done.
I think you also mentioned something about how you guys also track 20, something during the pre-interview about tracking 20 or 30 different pages or functions on your website.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
So, for example, I think the most important things is the find good metrics and track them. So find the numbers and track them. And for example, just to make sure our site is really fast all the time, what we do is we track 20 or 30 different pages or functions in our website.
Yeah.
We get an email every day, and that email is actually comparing the speed of a particular page or a function, and it's comparing it to yesterday and the last week and the last month. So if something slows down, we can actually see it right there on the email, and we can actually do something about that.
So that's kind of you've built kind of some way in which you're delegating work to somebody else to do, but also building a measure to kind of trust but verify kind of thing.
Yeah. What you track actually gets better. So if you worry about something in your business, or if you want to improve something in your business, just find a way to track that with a number, and just try to track it every day. If you know the number, if you check the number every day, when it goes better, you will actually see it. And when it gets worse, you can also see that as well, and you can do something about that.
So going back to the story, you've did several steps to kind of systematize the business. You started with support, then you moved to engineering, built several teams in engineering, and you created kind of metrics to track what each engineering department is handling and stuff like that. But then I'm wondering, how did you even prioritize the order of steps to take? How did you decide the systems or which ones to create first and which ones to create next? Was there some kind of reasoning to the decision?
Mm-hmm. So you have to look at the daily task you do all the time. Are you doing something all the time again and again?
Mm-hmm.
You try to find repetition in your day. If you are doing something all the time, and if you are not doing it differently, if you are just repeating the task, it's time to just move it away from your desk to somewhere else. There are three ways you can actually move it. Like, you can actually delegate it to someone else in your company, or you can just hire someone and get it, that person do it. You can outsource it, or you can automate it with software.
Yeah.
So when you how do you get something? How do you find a repetitive task, and how do you delegate it to someone else? I think you first have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you're doing it repeatedly, you are doing it yourself. But if you do something yourself, you know what steps required to get the job done. So you can actually, now you can actually document that, and you can actually give it to someone else. And what I do when I give a task to someone else is basically what I call co-piloting. Instead of doing something and showing it to the other person, I will just give the other person the document that lists all the steps that needs to be taken to get the job done.
Yeah.
And I will let the person do the task. This, like, when you do something, you can learn it much better than...
you learn by doing, yeah.
Just suggest workarounds or, better approaches. And I will just let them do the better approach. And when you co-pilot with them, you can actually see them making a mistake, and you can actually, correct them. You can give them feedback. And after that, once you give it to other person, you can just review it time to time. You can give them feedback. But, once you delegate it, it's now their own thing. And they have the freedom to actually improve the processes as well. But co-piloting works really well.
I like that whole strategy of co-piloting. And I'm wondering, when you were doing this whole thing of, co-piloting and documenting procedures and processes, I'm wondering how exactly did you document these procedures and processes for your business? What kind of what tools do you use? I think earlier you said you use JotForm, but was there other tools you used as well? Yeah.
So we mainly use Google Docs, okay. Google Drive. And we might just create a Google Docs document, or we might create a spreadsheet. We have a shared folder,
mm-hmm.
and just add in that shared folder will actually share it with all the people in our company. And I will also ask everyone else to just, when they create a document, just create it under the shared folder. And this way, we have everything available to everyone in our Google Docs. And we also use JotForm. Just as I described it before, we will just create a form with checkboxes and, all the required fields. And, and then you ask the person, when they complete the task, they will just fill the form, check the checkboxes. And then when they send it, in JotForm, you can actually... send an email to multiple people. You can, make your own emails and, send it to anyone you want. And just, complete the task, fill the form, complete the form, and the email will actually go to the person, go to the next person, or go to your manager who can review the work.
Yeah. And so back then, at the time when you were, working on system, creating systems and processes for your business, and you're trying to systematize the business, I'm wondering what books or even mentors had the most influence on you and why?
My favorite book is called The Goal.
I love that
book. By Eliyahu Goldratt. Did you read it?
Yeah. I read it. Go ahead. You tell the story. You will tell the story.
It's actually a novel. It's mm-hmm. a business novel. And the book is about something called Theory of Constraints. Basically, Theory of Constraints is finding bottlenecks in your process and finding constraints in your processes and fixing those constraints. And once you find a bottleneck, you can actually improve the throughput in your system.
Yeah,
and you will continue to find other bottlenecks, but usually, the first bottleneck is like this you get like an 80% increase in your first bottleneck.
Yeah.
And it continues to, you know, you can find more bottleneck, but, you know, it gets smaller with time. But it's a great book. I think everyone should read it. The second book I love is, it's called Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson. This book is about, like, you know, sometimes you just, you spend planning for months and then you do something. But this book is more about how you just try different things. Instead of ready, aim, fire, you actually ready, fire, and then, you know, you don't hit the right target, but you can actually fire again, and then...
And it's funny how the title just, like, literally gets the concept out there. I mean, when I heard the title, I was like, whoa, I kind of get what the book is about, but when I read it, it was really good. I love that book, too. Yeah, because sometimes procrastination can get in our way, and we want to make it perfect, and that book is saying, nah, just shoot and recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. And the author actually is a very experienced entrepreneur. He has created many, you know, $100 million businesses.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the third book that really changed my life is the Getting Things Done by David Allen. Anybody who is listening to this podcast probably already heard of it, so I'm not going to...
The GTD guy.
Yeah, GTD, yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, if we keep talking about, okay, we've talked about earlier the results you experiencing now as a result of systematizing and automating your business, and then we even talked about what you did to kind of make that happen. But if we just leave the story there, the story is not complete because obviously there were challenges, right? So what was the, what was the biggest challenge that you experienced when you initially tried to systematize your business, and how did you solve it?
Yeah, people. So the biggest challenge is to find good people, and it's really hard to find good people. I think to find good people on an area, you actually need to perform that job yourself. Because once you perform the job yourself, you actually know what's required for that job, what kind of personality might work, you know, best for that kind of job, and what you need from that person to be like. But still, it's just really hard to, you know, find and hire good people and keep them. And it's just you learn it by experience.
So was the way you solved the problem by was doing the role you're trying to hire, doing it yourself, so you know the expectation of what the right person would have to fit into for them to do it? Was that kind of how you solved that problem?
I think it's hiring is really risky because when you hire a bad fit for position, it's going to be really hard. It's really hard to fix bad hires. So the way you hire you make a good hire is to just be patient and just not hire the first person that impresses you.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to keep, you know, try to interview as many people as possible and try to do a trial. Find a way to do a trial, you know. You can give them a task to do. If it's an engineering task, you can ask them to do an engineering task. Like, you know, you can ask them to write code. If it's a support job, you can actually ask them to answer some support queries. And when you see them like making even like a spelling mistakes, then you know that, you know, that person might not be the, you know, good hire, because in support you have to be really, you know, you have to be really careful. You have to review the answer you give to the customer. So it's really something you learn by doing.
And I get how, as the owner of the business, you know, you tend to do a lot of the work yourself initially. So really, first of all, being able to do the work yourself so you know how the work gets done, and then you're able to hire based on the right fit to do that work that would take it over from you, and then testing them to make sure that they can actually do it before, you know, they join full-time or whatever. But what are some instances where, you know, the work itself, you have no idea how they're going to do it? How do you solve that problem in that situation? And if you don't have an answer for that, it's okay. I'm just posing that out.
that's a great question. Let me see. I think if you haven't done the job, it's not a good idea to actually. You should try to do the job yourself first. You should try to do it yourself. The other way you can find good candidate is just you can look at their history.
Okay.
And see if, you know, they have done a similar job and if they have performed it well. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, you just in that case, you need to find a way in which to gauge their skill set, even if you don't know exactly how they'll do the work. I get that. So what was the second biggest challenge that you experienced when you initially tried to systematize your business? Just to remind you what we talked about during the pre-interview, something about keeping your teams moving without communication. And what was that? I want to elaborate on that.
So the second challenge is when you build your team, it's just really hard to get them to communicate well and focus on the right problems and just go as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So those things, you know, that they are not hard to get it right at the first try. When our engineering team hit the 10 people ceiling, we started having problems with just losing the focus and, you know, keeping everyone going in the same direction and, you know, dividing the work so that, you know, everyone can contribute well.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we solved this challenge was to divide our team into multiple teams. Currently, what we have is like 4 or 5 people teams, cross-functional teams.
Okay.
When I say cross-functional, I mean...
Oh, so they're in different departments, right?
Yeah, different departments. Like, you know, a team includes a designer, a front-end developer, a business person, and a back-end developer. So that the team can actually have all the ingredients and they can actually accomplish this job themselves without needing outside help, and they can actually go much faster.
Let me dive into this a little bit more, because was the problem that because of the different teams you had, communication between the teams was not moving, flowing through completely. Yeah. So there were like, what's the word for it now? Silos of information, right? And so you decided that instead of to break those silos was to put people from the different teams, blend them together so that they are different members of the different teams together so that that information flows?
Yes, correct. So, now we have like 5 different engineering teams and they all have different ingredients and they can just get the job done without, we don't have to get the whole team together. We don't have to meet them. They are sitting in the same office. You know, their door is closed and they can talk all day long. They can solve problems quickly. They can actually, just get together in front of a whiteboard and just discuss an issue and solve it quickly and then move on. Instead of like when you have 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, and when you need to get everyone together and meet them, it just becomes impossible. It's just you're spending so much time with meetings.
Yeah.
And decisions become hard. People has to wait like a week for a decision.
Mm-hmm. But
when you give them, hey, you can manage yourself. You can do things yourself, and you empower them. You give them the tools they need, and they can just close the door and get the job done.
I like that. And so Given all these challenges that you've mentioned so far, I mean, I'm wondering, why back then did you stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
So it's just, there's only, it's one-way street. Once you
How
start
so?
Systemizing your business,
yeah.
I don't think you can go back. You see the productivity increases. You know, when you're doing things yourself, you feel like, hey, you know, I'm doing things really well. But when you delegate it to other people, you see that they can actually do it much better than, because they have the time to actually do it right, as opposed to as a business owner, you are doing everything yourself. So once you start systemizing, there's no going back.
Yeah, I like that. And so I want to kind of bring the story much more closer to the present day. So, you know, at what point in time did you feel like your entire business was systematized and it could actually run without you? Do you remember that specific instance?
I would say the time my wife and I took the road trip in Europe for 3 months. That was the time that I knew that, you know, my business runs without me. And that, you know, I can take long vacations without worrying about, you know, what will happen. So that's the time when I recognized that my business can run without me successfully.
But I want to get to the state of mind where, okay, before that point, you have not even taken that long of a trip. And then now you are about to take the trip. Was the intention at that point, at that time, to take that long of a trip? Or were you, I don't want to put words in your mind, I want to figure out the state of mind of you, where you were thinking of when you decided to take that trip. What was it like? Thinking of, you know, not
yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I was able to spend my time improving my business,
yeah,
I knew that I actually have time in my hands to take read a book or take a vacation or, you know, not worry about if things will fall apart in my business. So
okay, so you were kind of seeing like little benefits of the small system improvements you were making.
Yes.
And then, so it's not like, it wasn't like you just jumped and let me go ahead, take 3 months, but you were actually seeing little.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'll be scared if I just decide to just take 3 months, you know, given the story on how you're telling it, if I just decide to go take 3 months and not really seeing anything up to that point yet to justify it, you know?
Yeah. When I stopped spending time with dealing, putting out fires with our servers, with our support, with our customers, then, you know, I was able to have time in my hands and I was able to actually just, you know that I'm working on my business. I'm not just spending all my day with busy work. Then I knew that I can actually take that time off.
Okay.
And that was one of my dreams, and I was able to do it.
Wow, that's awesome. So, and so now that we're talking more about, you know, currently how the business work, you know, today, how the business is. So what I want you to do is kind of to tell us the different parts of your business and the specific systems you have in each part. So to use kind of an analogy to make it more concrete to you, to answer the questions for the listener, is think of it, the business, like a conveyor belt. On one end is, you know, somebody who's probably looking for some online form online to do some specific task in their business. And on the other part is, this person is now your customer, loves you guys, is raving about you guys, telling everybody about you. What's happening to drive that transformation of that customer within your business?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, like the teams, they widen the company into multiple teams and giving them the freedom to actually get the job done has actually resulted in me, you know, our business working like a conveyor belt as well. So our marketing, if you think our business is a conveyor belt, our marketing comes first because they're actually trying to get JotForm in our customer, get eyeballs for JotForm. They're also creating the landing pages or all the marketing materials, so that you know when new users arrive at JustForm, they can actually become active users, more permanent users. So the marketing is the first step. Mm-hmm. The second step is the engineering, because we have to have a good product. I mean, you can have the best marketing team in the world, but if your product sucks, it's not going to help you much. It's just you'll lose them everywhere. If you think like if you think your business like what do you call that? anyways, so the engineering makes sure our product is well, and they are actually tracking metrics and they are tracking the numbers and make sure that you know we don't lose any customers. And the third step is our support, because even if your product is well, people will have problems, people will have confusion, and if you don't have a good support team, you will lose all those people when they hit the first problem. So all those steps, when if we get them right, we get happy customers. And
I think you also mentioned during the interview a fourth team, which is the maintenance team. What is that?
A maintenance team is basically a team that's dealing with small bugs and small feature requests in our product. So one problem we had with our engineering team was that once we have like so many users, engineering team was spending so much time doing small minor edits in our product, minor bug fixes, minor features. And this actually, the switch between doing minor fixes on our product and trying to build the next big feature for our product was actually slowing them down. So what we did was I actually hired a remote maintenance team, and these engineers actually work on improving our product continuously with small fixes, while the engineering team can work on like major features.
Oh, okay.
Improvements our product.
I get it now. And so what systems would you say you have in place today that enable your employees to know what they need to do?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't like micromanaging our teams. Mm-hmm. Instead, what we do is like we meet once a week.
Yeah.
So with the marketing team, we will meet. If I am in San Francisco, we are gonna meet together. If I am in somewhere else, we will just meet over Skype, and we will just meet once a day and discuss the issues. With the engineering teams, what we do is we meet Friday afternoons, and we call this demo days. Mm-hmm. Basically, they show the whole company what they have accomplished during that week. And we also watch some usability testing from our customers. So we watch our customers using our product, and then we can actually see the new changes the engineering team has made.
Yeah.
While our customers are using those new features. And we can see them, and we can see if there are any problems with it. So we spend the whole afternoon, Friday afternoon, watching our team, watching our customers, and getting our team showing us what they have accomplished during that week.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned something about the weekly marketing and team meetings as well.
Mm-hmm. The weekly meetings, the design team meets together, and they just make sure, because we have a designer in each engineering team, they meet together, and then they make sure that they have consistency between different parts of the site. I also meet with a marketing team every week, and so each team also meets together every week, but the demo days is the time when we all meet together.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing we use to make sure that we we systemize, our systems are working well is the numbers we track.
Okay.
We actually send lots of daily emails that actually shows us the different numbers in our system. We can see if something happened in our site or with our customers yesterday, so that, you know, if the numbers change, we can actually see problems, spot problems. And each team actually has their own emails, daily emails to track.
So each team has their own specific metrics that you guys are tracking for that specific. Good. I like that. And so, now that you have all this, more free time, which areas of your business do you currently focus on now and why?
On my free time, I'm currently focusing on we are actually rebuilding our form builder. The core of our product.
Okay.
Is actually the place where you create the forms. Mm-hmm. So we are actually rebuilding it by pieces. So we one of the teams take one piece of our product, and then it just we redesign it and we work on it and we release it to 50% of our users. And then we see how the numbers change, if the numbers increase. So my current goal is improving our form builder, and that's a large project currently, and it's going to take us probably 6 months to 1 year. But at the end of this time, we will have a completely brand new form builder. But we will not do this by just creating a new version and just giving it to our users. We will just do it by
chunk by chunk,
mm-hmm. part by part. Yeah, just
smart move. Yeah. And so, what would you say is the next stage of growth for your business, and what do you plan to achieve next, and why?
So the great news is we are about to reach 2 million users. So for me, the most important thing is to get the number of users and, get our user numbers increased and our getting our users more active with our product. So I focus on making sure that our user growth and our the way our users use our product gets better with time. So
Is it about 2 million users now? That's a lot of news. Congratulations.
We're over 1.9 million users, and we are about to reach 2 million users. So
that is awesome, man. That is great stuff. Cool. And so as we come to the end of the interview, I'm wondering, the person who's listening to this interview obviously is dead set on, making sure that they can systematize their business so it runs without them. What would you say is the very next step, given what they've learned so far, that listener should take to just get started towards, inching towards that goal of the business running without them?
I will say you should first start by tracking, by finding the important metrics in your product or service and tracking them. Mm-hmm. And tracking them is as small periods of time as possible. So, you want to track them by day, every day, if possible. If it's not possible, by week or month.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you track something, you improve it.
Yeah.
When you don't track it, you might forget about it, and you when you look it up a year from now, you will see that maybe you didn't improve it. So, and the second thing I would say is to automate your as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things manually is a waste of time in this day and age. So, find things you repeat all the time, and
so if it's possible to automate it, just automate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if something is taking you too much time, and if you cannot automate it, I think if you cannot delegate it, another option is to just outsource it because sometimes, you know, let's say you want to create an like animation video for your website.
Yeah.
You can try to get it done in-house, but it's just...
It's not your core focus.
It's not your core, yeah.
Mm.
Core, yeah, skill. So yeah. It's better to get someone who is professional to handle it for you.
Yeah, I like that. And so, last question for you. I'm wondering, is there a question that you were wishing I would have asked you during this interview that I didn't ask? And if yes, you know, pose the answer and the question and then the answer.
Mm-hmm. I would say, what would the future of systemizing would look like? That's a question.
What is the future of systematizing your business look like?
Yeah. I would say the systemizing your, I think the machine learning is future of systemizing business.
How so?
I can give you an example from our end. We have a problem with phishing, right? JotForm is very versatile, so you can create any kind of forms. But some bad people actually come to JotForm and create these phishing forms to collect like passwords from
other
people.
To get people's information.
Yeah. So how do we catch these people? And how do we suspend them? We were doing this by hand. At the beginning, I was doing it by hand, manually.
Yeah.
So I was spending so much time on it. So the next step was to give this task to someone. So I delegated it. I actually hired people on Odesk and just get them to review some part of the some forms.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also slow and difficult. So what we did was we used machine learning to actually train models so that we can actually when the model sees a phishing form, it can actually suspend it automatically, and it's working really well. It can actually detect and suspend phishing forms quite well. And what we did, we actually train it continuously. So we will still review forms, and we will say, hey, this is a phishing form, and this is not a phishing form. And this knowledge, this training actually are used by machine learning, and it can actually review all of the forms created with JotForm, and it can actually find phishing form and suspend them without a human touching, you know, manually saying this is a phishing form.
And just so for my non-technical listeners, so let me see if I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that the next stage of systemization is where you now get to use machine, which is computer code, to actually do the thinking, just like how you create mm-hmm. a framework for human beings to think.
Yes.
But then because human beings have to do it, or even though you've created processes and systems for the human beings to do, human beings are doing it, it might delay, not get as much output. The next stage is getting machines, the computer, to now start doing the thinking for you.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. I mean, that's something that I personally would have to think about and see if we can even put it in sweet process. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And so now I'm speaking to you, the listener. Before I even do that, I forgot to ask you, what is the best way for the listener to connect with you and thank you for doing the interview?
Feel free to email me. My email is aytekin@jotform.com. It's aytekin@jotform.com.
Awesome. So now I'm speaking to you who has been listening to the interview all the way to this point. If you've enjoyed this interview, what I want you to do is leave us a feedback or your honest review on iTunes. To do that, here's a quick way to get to our iTunes link on iTunes. It's go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes and leave your honest review on there. And if you are in that stage in your business or at that stage in your business where you are tired of being the bottleneck, and having your employees ask you the same questions over and over again, and you want to get everything out of your head so they know exactly what you know, then sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. I check in. Thanks for doing the interview.
Thank you.
Are we done?
Thank you.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the Systemization Checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.